Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for your love, for your care. We thank you, Lord, for the seasons of the year and the changes that we see month by month. We thank you for the seasons of life, though sometimes they're very rough on us. And then, Lord, we see so many transitions in life as well. We thank you for those because they give us a chance to grow. They give us a chance to have new horizons and new visions. We pray now that you would prepare our hearts for all that you have for us. May we be open and receptive to your will and to your leading. Meet with us now and have your way. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
And in sing number 98, To God Be the Glory.
I invite you to join with me now in the litany of farewell. I thank you, members and friends of Rockwood United Methodist Church, for the love and support you have shown me while I ministered among you. I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to minister elsewhere. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes, Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us with your departure.
I accept your gratitude and forgiveness and forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I encourage your continuing ministry here and will pray for you and Reverend Annette Flynn as she ministers here. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished memories and commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I heard about a minister who got up in front of the congregation and gave a rather long statement. And then at the end, he said, I feel that Jesus is leading me elsewhere, so this will be my last Sunday here. Song leader stood up and said, let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Don't you dare. However, as we prepare to go to prayer this morning, I want to especially ask you to be in prayer for Reverend Annette Flynn. Next Sunday, she will be here to start her ministry with you. And I believe she's going to have some new visions and new ideas and hopefully have a very effective ministry among you. She cannot do it by herself, okay? You've heard me say that 2-3% of the people that come to church come because of who's up here. And somewhere between 85 and 95% of them come because of somebody out there invited them, made it a point to want them to be part of the family of God. So do plan to uplift her in your prayers and with your time and your service. I expect God will be doing great and wonderful things. As we go to prayer this morning, are there other joys and concerns you'd like to share? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we come not as a time of closing or ending, but as a time of new beginnings. We thank you, Lord, that down through the years you've been with Rockwood United Methodist Church. Pastors have come and pastors have gone. There have been joy and tears connected with each one of them for various reasons. But now we come to this point where we are ready for another transition. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to your people here. We pray that you would prepare them to welcome their new pastor with open arms. We pray that you would help each one that we might recommit and rededicate ourselves to you and to your work here. Remind us, Lord, this is not our church. This is your church. We are not here because of who we are. We're here because of who you are and how much you love and care for us. Because you loved us enough to send your son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for us. And now, Lord, we realize that if we had 1,000 years, we couldn't even begin to repay you for your love and for your grace and for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we realize that we don't have 1,000 years left here. For some, it's a little bit longer, and for others, it's a little bit shorter. But Lord, we're looking forward to being able to spend all of eternity with you. Those things that stirred us up so much here and things that got us frustrated and things that aggravated us, when we get to heaven, they're not going to matter one iota. So we just pray that right now you'd get our eyes off things and off people and get them on Jesus. As we decide that we are going to work for you until Jesus comes, either to take us all or to take each one of us when our time arrives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the 2 years that we've had here, for the opportunities to share, for the laughs and for the tears, times of joy, times of sorrow. We just pray now that you would bless each one. Help us, Lord, that we might decide that we are going to follow Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the attitude of prayer, let's continue with the prayer of confession and pardon. Savior, you are calling us to your table. I can't hear you. To celebrate your birth, life, death, and resurrection, and to enjoy your presence, to experience your healing, to have our lives filled to overflowing, to be one with your people of every time and place, to receive your gifts to us of love, joy, and peace. But we dare not come with dirty hands and sin-stained hearts. Only your forgiveness can make us clean. In the hustle and bustle of life, we have pushed you to the edges of our lives as we have become too busy with urgent matters. We have fooled ourselves into believing that we don't have time to pray and we are too exhausted to serve. We invent excuses for ignoring the poor and avoiding those who are hurting, hungry, homeless, helpless, and hopeless. Too often we have robbed you by not giving tithes and offerings, which all belong to you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to do better. Help us to plan our days and our actions according to your will. Open our hearts to the needs of those who cannot pay us back. Forgive us and fill us with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. May we be your Christmas and Easter people every day. Then we can celebrate this meal with all of the saints of every time and place. Amen. Ushers, would you now come that we might receive tithes and offerings? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver, Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you remain standing for the reading of the gospel?
Today's scripture is Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our friend, bless
One more time. As Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled. At the age of 17, Johnny Erickson dove into Chesapeake Bay. She hit her head on some rocks and was paralyzed from the neck down. She now spends every moment of every day in a wheelchair. Ron Hagee was just a week from his 18th birthday. He was a high school wrestler, a football player, and a surfer. One day, while surfing in the Pacific Ocean with some friends, he wiped out and broke his neck on a sandbar. He is now crippled for life. It seems that our entire world is suffering from disabilities. Let me give you a few examples. Our nation is crippled. There are many things that are crippling the United States. And I realize we could get into some political discussions at this point, but that's not where we're going. We're still supposed to be one nation under God. But one of the big ones that we hear about every day on the news is drugs. One commentator stated that 85% of the crime in the United States is drug-related. By some estimates, illegal drugs in the United States cost us over $300 billion a year. That's almost $1,000 for every single person in this country. And that's not counting the lives that are being lost or wasted. Do you realize that the average drug use in the United States of America begins at age 11? That's scary. Drugs are crippling families, our youth, and our nation. Several years ago, there was an empty lot in Atlanta that had a sign on it that read, "Future home of Avondale Christian Church, God willing." Someone wrote below it in bold letters, "God is willing, are you?" Whether we're talking about drugs or building a church, or about Rockwood United Methodist Church wanting to reach out and grow, the question is the same: are we willing? It talked in our scripture this morning. It said when Jesus touched this woman, instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. Today, I would say to you that we need to straighten up and do God's work and God's will. Not only is our nation crippled, but also our families are crippled. Anybody here know any dysfunctional families? Don't raise your hand on this one, but anybody here a part of a dysfunctional family? Every day we hear almost unbelievable accounts of families imploding in so many different ways. A number of years ago, I was pastoring in Appleton, Wisconsin, 200 miles north of Chicago. When we moved up there on February 1st of 76, when you're in the house, you couldn't see cars going by in the street because the snowbanks were so high. So every time here, when I hear them mention the S word on the radio, and people panic and they rush to the store to get milk and water and toilet paper. Well, we'll see what happens. But you know, while I was there in Appleton, I had a young girl in our youth group. We had probably 25 or 30 real active youth. We did all kinds of mission work and ministry work there in Appleton. It was 65,000 people. We took the kids on a concert tour as far east as Rochester, New York, and back again. I got a phone call one day from a mother. She lived about a block from the church. She asked if I was the pastor, and I told her I was. She told me who she was, and her daughter was one of the new girls in the youth group. She said, "We need to have a talk." She said, "We are Catholic." Now, I'd found out from the daughter long before that that they only went to church maybe once or twice a year, if that. The mother went on, she said, "Now, I know my daughter has been into stuff that she shouldn't be doing. I know that she spends all of her free time down here at the park with some other teenagers that aren't a good influence on her. I know she's been experimenting with drugs, and I know occasionally she drinks, and I know that she's been doing other things that she shouldn't be doing. But," she said, "if I want to get a hold of her, I know where she's at. I know she'll be down at the park." She said, "Since she got involved with your church, I never know where she is from one day to the next." Well, that wasn't true because we always had to get permission slips signed by the parents. But anyway, she says, "I mean," she said, "you took her all the way to New York State, and I never know where she is from one day to the next. So I want you to leave my daughter alone." Well, almost sounds dysfunctional, doesn't it? Number three, as individuals and as a church, we may also be crippled. The woman in our text today had been crippled for 18 years. You remember when all the Y2K hubbub was going on? People said, "Oh, the year 2000, the world's going to end, and all of this sort of thing. That's when Jesus is coming back, and all the computers are going to crash." And one thing after another. And that first Sunday morning of the year 2000, I stood in front of my congregation and said, "Oh, by the way, there's something you need to know. Way back in the first two or three centuries, a monk who laid out the calendar and figured out the birth of Christ goofed. You see, we know that King Herod died somewhere around 4 AD, and he was king when Jesus was 2 years old. So this monk had goofed by about 5 or 6 years on what year it should be. I said, "So in reality today, it's not 2000, it should be 2005 or 2006. Nothing happened 5 or 6 years ago. You're safe." But we get so wrapped up in all of these things here. Well, that was 18 years ago. That's how long that woman had been crippled. She was unable to stand up straight. She was in the synagogue praying when Jesus saw her. He said, "Dear woman, you're healed of your sickness." And all of a sudden, she stood up straight and praised God. Can you imagine? She hadn't stood up straight for 18 years. Now, the leader of the synagogue, he was very upset about this, because Jesus had healed this woman on the Sabbath. And in his thinking, healing shouldn't take place on the Sabbath. This was the day that was devoted to rest and worship. There are 6 other days when you can do that sort of thing, but not here and not on the Sabbath. A seminary professor talked about miracles like this. He said, "Since God exists, miracles are possible. Since God is love, miracles are probable. Since God became a man in Jesus Christ, miracles are to be expected. Miracles happen. He healed this woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And then he referred to the leader of the synagogue and all of his friends as hypocrites because they permitted work with animals, untying the ox, leading it out for food, whatever. But they didn't allow healing people. We need to realize today, regardless of what day of the week it is, Jesus still wants to heal our limitations. Every one of us at one time or another are physically, mentally, and or spiritually limited. And part of the reasoning for that could be by self-pity or resentment. Johnny Erickson, a few years ago she got married and her name is now Johnny Erickson Tata. But after that diving accident, she realized that her paralysis was permanent and she wanted to commit suicide. She had no use of her arms or legs, so she asked a friend to assist her in taking her life. The friend refused. Johnny was bitter and resentful. Who could blame her? She said that her attitude crippled her even more than the accident had. Feelings of helplessness and depression gained control until she finally gave up and turned her condition over to Jesus Christ. Today, Johnny is an author and a speaker on overcoming handicaps through the power of Jesus Christ. Millions of copies of her books have been sold in over 40 different languages. She travels around the world and reaches people with all kinds of handicaps and urges them to depend on the Lord to change their attitude. In addition to writing books and giving inspirational talks, she's an artist. She holds the pencil or the brush in her teeth. How many of y'all have ever seen any of Johnny's sketches, paintings? Beautiful. Beautiful. She's gifted. Also, she's delivered thousands of wheelchairs all over the world to change the lives of people who have mobility limitations. We mentioned Ron Hagee a little while ago. Before his surfing accident, he was able to bench press 300 pounds. After the accident, he couldn't lift a finger. Yet he went on to get a master's degree in social work from San Diego State University. He was totally paralyzed from the neck down, so he had to write with a pen in his mouth or by typing on a computer with a pointer that he held between his clenched teeth. Ron now heads an organization called Life is an Attitude. He's a motivational speaker for Wheels for the World and is a disability consultant. Like Johnny, Ron believes that all people who have self-pity and resentment are handicapped. The University of Arizona College of Medicine has a program called Integrated Medicine. It's a program that's designed to study and apply alternative forms of healing. And one of those alternative forms of healing that this university is working with is a thing called prayer. In scientific studies, prayer has been shown to lower blood pressure. People with religious faith have been found to live longer than agnostics and atheists. In one recent study, it showed that that heart patients are less likely to die when family members pray for them, even when the patients do not know that they're being prayed for. Life is not easy. Bad things do happen to good people. Very often, we're tempted to give up in those times when we face physical, mental, or spiritual suffering. Faith in Jesus makes a major difference. In our scripture today, we see a miracle of healing taking place. A woman who had been crippled for 18 years was completely healed. You'd think that everybody in the temple that day would be rejoicing and praising God for what had happened. But it wasn't that way. And as surely as Jesus had critics and skeptics then, we have them now. It seems that whenever things get rough, there are those that are willing to make it a little bit rougher by what they say and do. Critics are everywhere today, even in church. Anybody who tries to do anything is going to have someone saying that they shouldn't have done it or they should have done it differently. Jesus said, "Great is the harvest and fewer the laborers." He could have expounded on that a little bit more and said, there are a lot of people who won't do any work, but they're quick to criticize anybody who does. Many of you will remember Yogi Berra, not Yogi Bear, not the one stealing the picnic baskets, okay? This is the one who was the catcher and the manager and the coach for the New York Yankees. Well, he had a lot of quotes. Here's a few of them. He said, "Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical. If the world was perfect, it wouldn't be. If you come to a fork in the road, take it." He's the one who said it's like deja vu all over again. He said the future ain't what it used to be. He said if you don't know where you're going, you may wind up somewhere else. And he also said, anyone who is popular is bound to be disliked. Jesus was popular. Jesus was disliked. And we could go on in current days and name some people who are popular and who are disliked. And it's the same thing in the church. The people who are really involved and really active and really working, they're popular and they're disliked. Jesus had compassion on this woman and he healed her. The leader of the synagogue was adamant. "We have a rule, no healing on the Sabbath." You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in these things. Greyhound bus lines had a rule. No pets allowed on buses. Late one night, at a rural truck stop in Florida, Greyhound bus driver pulled the bus into the truck stop, opened the door, and told an 80-year-old woman to get off his bus. What did she do wrong? She was returning from her birthday party where a present that she received was a cute little puppy named Cookie. Dogs are not allowed on Greyhound buses, and the driver refused to make an exception. He left this elderly woman with limited eyesight, limited hearing, and a walker off 80 miles from home at 3 o'clock in the morning. The driver said, "We have rules." A security guard at the truck stop called the sheriff. And of course, this added to the woman's fright. She said, "When the bus pulled away and the police car came in with lights flashing, I thought they were going to arrest me, and I've never been in jail." What could have been a terrifying ordeal for this woman became an inspiration. After the sheriff took her in the truck stop and got her a cup of coffee and a sandwich, and after they talked a little bit, the sheriff worked it out to where police from 5 different jurisdictions saw to it that she got home safe and sound. She said, "I've never seen so many people being so nice to an old lady. They showed love and respect." Greyhound later apologized and gave her a refund. Oh. The unidentified driver was suspended. But Greyhound had a rule. And Jesus wants us to see that God's love for all of God's children is greater than God's adherence to rules. God's love for you and me is greater than our sin toward God. Jesus had to deal with critics and demons, and we still do today. Johnny had to face them, so did Ron, and so do we. Even when we try to do something good, there are those who will find fault with it. Through Jesus' example and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying it because Rockwood United Methodist Church has been through some crippling times too. There have been many occasions when many people have been ready to just throw in the towel. Back in the 1960s, many of you will remember that this church was running around 300 in attendance. About 80 children, about 80 young people. About 140 adults. What happened? Well, there are a lot of different reasons. A lot of different things came into play here. The community has changed since 1960. The industrial base here has shrunk since then. People have moved. Children grew up and moved away. And then there are people who, for whatever reason, decided they were going to go somewhere else to church. Now we're starting to see growth. We're seeing new families come in. I believe that Rockwood United Methodist Church's best days are still ahead. God is still in the miracle-working business, and we need to allow Jesus to touch us anew and afresh so that we can straighten up and trust God to cause miracles to happen. We can trust God to cause miracles to happen here at Rockwood United Methodist Church, regardless of what happens in Washington, D.C., regardless of what color they paint the restrooms here in the church. Regardless of who is behind the pulpit. I have seen more churches where God blessed in spite of who was behind the pulpit than when God blessed because of who was behind the pulpit. I don't have any delusions of grandeur there. This is God's church. And God promised in Matthew 16 that if we dare to believe, even the powers of hell can't defeat us. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. All this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Finally, let's paraphrase one verse from our text today. Luke 13:13. This is a paraphrase. I've changed it a little bit, okay? Then Jesus touched his church, and instantly it straightened up, and all of the members constantly praised God. My friends, dare to trust God. Dare to have an attitude of expectancy about what God has yet to do for Rockwood United Methodist Church. If you're not thrilled with the transition, pray about it. If you are, pray about it. If you're not the president of the fan club of the last pastor, pray for the next one so they can do even greater. And you can say, see what a bum we had here. Look what God is doing for us now. Dare to trust God. It's his church. If you trust, he'll bless. Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we come to these closing moments, as we transition here at Rockwood United Methodist Church, we pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us. May we stand ready for the challenge so that you will get the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We are reminded that on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. When he had broken it, he blessed it and gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat ye all of it in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup. And when he gave it to disciples, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me." This morning, as we come to the Lord's table, Catherine and I have requested the privilege of being able to serve you one final time. Catherine will be standing with the bread. As you come down both sides of the aisle, you partake of the bread, eat it. I'll be standing back here with the cup. Come, take the cup, drink. If you want to spend some time kneeling at the altar rail or standing at the altar rail, you may. Otherwise, just circle right around and go back to your seat, okay? Choir, if you want to make your way down to the back door and come in, that'll expedite things. And the Lord's table is now open for you.